Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. Good morning, church, and so grateful that you are gathered here with us. If you're a guest with us this morning, maybe your kids are part of our vacation Bible school week, and you've come to gather this morning and in celebration. We're so grateful that you're here. We welcome you. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. And again, it's been as Tom shared, it's been an incredible privilege just to be with your kids this week. I've had the blessing of sitting down with so many of them as they had the opportunity really to just ask questions and reflect on the lessons and the time that we have spent together. And I can't say enough just how much I appreciate you entrusting your kids in our care this week. So grateful for our kid men and just what God does every week through just a great, incredible team of volunteers and leaders that serve there. There's around 100 kids that gather on a Sunday morning throughout our three services upstairs, and just gospel-centered teaching. And it's encouraging to me through kids that have been in our VBS for different years, and then especially through our kids that are here, just to see their growth and understanding of the gospel. And I just thank God for every parent, every family, and especially all of our volunteers, just the service that you just faithfully do in response to God's grace in your life. You know, I believe maybe the greatest mission field is just in that building up there as we share the good news of the gospel. And you know, we say as a church that we exist to equip and empower generations to love God, love people, and put that love in action. And so we're excited to be just part of that with you. And we are in the midst of a series called Summer at Sinai, and we have been walking through the book of Exodus. Normally we walk verse by verse through scripture and just allow God's word to kind of guide our path. And we have been in Exodus 20 for a season, and we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And this morning, we're going to land in commandment number 4, which is about rest and honoring the Sabbath day. And I was thinking, man, what a great Sunday after VBS. I see it in the eyes of our volunteers. You know, we're not going to have to prescribe a lot of rest. I mean, there's a nap coming for some of you, right? You just worn out, right? We had a great week, but nobody got any rest, right? We had a caffeination station along the way. Volunteers would slide through there and get that little boost to get through the week. But what we understand, like, we can't live like that forever. We've got to have rest, and God's created us in that way. And maybe you weren't part of VBS, but you know, I glanced through and saw somebody, we were having a conversation, like, some of you may have kept kids for somebody that served in VBS, and like, you're ready for some rest, right? We see all those kind of things. But some of us, maybe today, just in the midst of the life and the culture that we live in, maybe today is the message that you need, right? In the midst of a crazy world, just this reminder of what our souls need. And God's invitation to Sabbath, it is not an escape from exhaustion, but we're going to see this rhythm of rest that God has given to us as a gift. And so before we do that, we want to learn these commandments. And so the way that I remember them is with some hand motions. We did some of these last week, and back by popular demand, we've had some folks want to continue to learn them in that way. So if you want to warm up, you can get your hands out like this. And we're just, you know, we're asking for some participation out there. Please don't be too cool for school, right? So here's these hands. You can warm them up like this. Let me see one finger, right? You don't want to pull a muscle, so warm up till you're ready. But still, and so one finger up, right? And what we're going to remember is commandment number one, that we worship, that there's one God, right? And we worship one God. And the commandment is that you shall have no other gods before me. And what we want to understand in that is that this is not simply other gods that are ahead of him, but there are no other gods at all. Literally in the Hebrew, it gives this picture of no other gods before my face, that you are worshiping the one true God. And not only do we worship the one God, but we worship him in the right way. So you can put another finger up. You can do this in two ways. You put another finger up. We will not bow down to any graven images, right? We're going to worship him in the right way. You could also do two fingers like this and say, we're going to cut out any idols, right? We're going to cut them out. No idols for us. Number three, we looked at that last week. Number three, we're going to watch our words. So we'll put our hand up like this. Listen, we'll watch our words. And what we were reminded of is that we wear the name of Christ as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. So not only do we watch our words, but we want to watch our walk as well. So important today, Commandment number four, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, right? So we want to honor the Sabbath. Point number four, we'll have a little pillow on this side, and we got four Sundays. Listen, we want to take a little rest right here, okay? So we want to rest. Commandment number four, a little rest right here. All right, number five. You can hold up this hand like this, number five, and we're going to honor our father and our mother. So if you're sitting by a mom or grandma, give them a high five. Listen, high five. Honor your father and your mother. Listen, if you're a guest with us, listen, if you're a person with family, I want to encourage you. Next week, we're going to be looking at commandment number five, and it's going to be a special time. It's really, today we're going to push back against the culture of hurry and the world that we live in, and next week we're going to look at God's call and his design for the family, the part of honor in that, and how it impacts generations for the glory of God. So we want to encourage you to come back. Commandment number five. Listen, we're number six, so we'll put five fingers on this hand. One right here. You'll turn that into a gun. And I need to hear everybody say, bang, bang. Okay, we'll try that one more time. Ready? Bang, bang. Great job. All right, so thou shalt not murder. Okay, number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. These two, you got two fingers over here. I want you to take those two fingers, put them together. Okay, in the scripture, we say, for this reason. This is how God would give us this design for marriage. And he would say, for this reason, the man shall leave his father and his mother, and they shall join into his wife. And the two shall be, he shall cling to his wife or cleave to his wife, depending on your translation. And they'll become one flesh. So these two, they're together. And they're not interested in these five over here at all. Okay, number eight, got three fingers over here, five fingers over here. Thou shalt not steal. These two fingers got stolen by the other hand, so we're going to remember that. Number nine, five fingers on one hand, four on another, but you're going to say these two are the same. And what we understand is they're not the same. So we're not going to lie. We're not going to bear false witness. And finally, number 10, both hands out. Thou shalt not covet, reaching out for other things. So we want to remember those, and hopefully we'll continue to learn those. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read verses 8 through 11 this week. So I want to invite you, every week we stand, all those who are able, in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. And at the end of that, you'll see Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 on the screen, and we share that together. So we invite you to join with us in that. Beginning in verse 8, we read these words. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now all together, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, it's forever. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. God, we thank you, God, for the gift that it is. Lord, we thank you also for the gift of rest. Lord, and we come this morning, God, we are reminded, God, that you are great, and Lord, that you never get weak or weary, but God, we confess, Lord, we do. God, you don't ever slumber or sleep, but Lord, we need rest. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that we would see the rhythms that you've created in your design, God, from the very beginning, Lord, that might continue to apply to our lives even today, Lord, that we might live and work out of a rest in you, Lord, and a rest in the finished work of the cross, Lord. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the gift of rest, Lord. And we pray, God, that you might bless our time, God, as we just open your word and we declare your glory. God, we pray this in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Every week we look at kind of this target of where we're going, this kind of main idea of what we're looking at. You'll see that on the screen. We also find inside the Cowie app, so you can download that from any of the app stores. But in there, you'll also see sermon notes and some of these quotes and things along the journey. But the target, kind of the direction that we are going this morning is that God invites you into the rhythm of Sabbath rest, not just a day off, but a life anchored in trust and in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's kind of where we're going. And when we think about this invitation into this Sabbath rest, you know, we kind of laughed about it at the beginning about our need for rest from Vacation Bible School. And what we understand is we live in a culture, and if we could describe it, it is a culture of hurry. It is a culture of busyness. Like we really wear it, and we consider it some kind of trophy in our lives. Really, we brag on it. Like probably nobody came in this morning in any of the other commandments. You probably didn't walk in. Like, how was your week? Well, I lied a bunch. Nobody did that, right? I mean, nobody did that. Like, cheated on my wife, lied a bunch, all the things. None of those things were part of our conversation. But when it comes to this one commandment, in a lot of ways, we wear it as a badge of honor. And we say, hey, I'm so busy. Like, I didn't even breathe this week. I was running. I was going. And listen, we want to work hard. We're going to get to that. But what we understand is that the culture that we live in, it's a culture of hurry. And with these things in our pocket, you know, we've all got these cell phones that we carry. And for many of us, work, it travels with us everywhere we go. We don't even go to the bathroom without work. Like we sometimes, it travels in every point, like to our bed, to every place that we're at, and we never really shut off. There's a man who's been writing recently. He's got a podcast if you're interested in following some Sabbath things. And there's kind of been a move, kind of just this recognition, even among secular people, to see that the way that we're living, like this hurried culture, that what it's doing to our bodies, what it's doing to us, is not good. So there's been kind of this movement kind of back that. His name's John Mark Comer. And he says this, right? He says, hurry is violence on the soul. And many of us, right, if we're honest, we're bleeding out. A theologian that I like, a great teacher of spiritual disciplines, Dallas Willard, he said this. He said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your lives. He would go so much as to say, when he would talk about the spiritual disciplines and these rhythms of grace that God has given us, that he would speak of hurry, and he would say that hurry is one of these things, right, that it is the great enemy of our spiritual life today. And many of us, we might recognize that. Like, I don't know how many times I've prepared a message or I've gathered at church. Maybe we've kicked off a new Bible reading plan at the beginning of the year, or maybe there's been a message where we've talked about abiding in Christ, and we've talked about kind of these rhythms of our life and cultivating a time of solitude and prayer. And there's these moments where, man, I want to do those things. Like, I long for those moments. Maybe some of you have had those moments. You're like, hey, I'm going to start. I'm going to do that. But somehow, in the midst of the busyness of life, you've found some of the most important things that you know you desire to do, that you know you want to do, crowded out by the busyness. And sometimes we go by years of those kind of moments. You know, statistics would tell us that the average American, you can find some different reports on this, but the average American would check their phone sometime somewhere between like 60 and 150 times a day, some way more than that. There's crazy statistics that are out there. The amount of work and the way that our society may value that. And there's interesting statistics that say that if you work more than about 50 hours, whether you work 50 hours or 80 hours, you're accomplishing pretty much the same amount of thing. There's kind of this place where productivity just doesn't continue to increase. That's interesting. It's about 6 days of work. You know, anxiety and depression. Many of you in this room, you know, some of you are counselors in this room, you know just the volume and the increase of that. There's a generation that's been referred to as the anxious generation. Anxiety, just the depression, all of these things are on the rise, and these things are even common in the church. We see these things being very common throughout society, and there's connection to the busyness. There's connection to the never unplugging. There's connection to the multitasking. There's connection to us never resting. We see these things. Busyness has been seen to link itself to chronic stress. Chronic stress impacts our life in so many ways. One of my favorite guys that I like to read is a guy named Vance Pittman. And Vance wrote a book called The Stressless Life. He had crashed as a pastor. He had gone through this season where he ended up in the hospital just in burnout, weary, just an incredible just impact on his life. And he ended up writing this book out of that season of his life. And he defines stress as this moment where life's demands are greater than our ability to accomplish those. And he begins to really just paint this beautiful picture of rest that we see in the scriptures, and this rest that Jesus promises, this abundant life that we see in Christ, this sense that we come. Jesus would say, come all you who are weary and heavy laden. And he said, in me, you will find rest. And I wonder for followers of Jesus Christ, like how many of us does that describe our life? Or is it more that we have somehow fallen into the midst of this culture of busyness and this selfish way that we somehow believe that if we pause, that the world cannot continue. But I want to tell you, when we read this commandment, God has built into our lives. He's built in to his word, and he's given us in his mercy a rhythm of relief. Because here's the reality. When you break this command, you don't just break the Sabbath, but you break yourself against it. What you find is weariness. What you find is brokenness. And so as we look at this, point number one today, I want you to remember his rhythm. Remember his rhythm. Verse 8, we see these words, remember the Sabbath day. That word for remember, it's not just simply a word of thinking about something or it coming to mind. It is a word that in the Hebrew means to actively observe. The word for Sabbath, it is a word, Shabbat, it's this word that means to cease or to pause, to find rest, to rest. And it's this picture that we might deliberately cease from our labor, that we might deliberately cease from it in order to honor God, that in those things that we might reflect on him as our great provider, not dependent simply on all that our hands can provide, but trusting in God as our provider, that we might find renewal and refreshment of our soul in his presence. Now the scripture says to keep that holy. That word holy, it's set apart. It's set apart to God, and it's set apart from the ordinary. He says, hey, there's some days, and we're going to see that as we go along. There's some days, 6 days, you labor, those ordinary days. But he said, there's one day, and you're going to set it apart as holy. You're going to set it apart as different. It's going to be a day that you set apart for God, and you set it apart for rest. And what we see is that we're remembering a rhythm. If you look in verse 11, you'll see that it points all the way back to the creation. It points all the way back to Genesis. And in verse 11, it says, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. Now, we want to recognize that God didn't rest because he was tired, right? I like to say that God spoke this very world into existence without even breaking a sweat, right? That's our great God, right? And we come today and we exalt his name together. We come, magnify the Lord. This is our reminder. God didn't rest because he was tired. I heard somebody say one time, God was still creating on the seventh day. And I was kind of listening to that. I kind of pulled back against that. And the person said, he created rest. And he created something that we need. We would understand that in God's rest, he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because the work was done. And it was in celebration of that completion, right? But he also, he set apart and he set up a rhythm for his people. And we see Sabbath wove into the very midst of creation. So this first commandment, this wasn't the first time it came up. We already saw it before in Exodus with manna, right? We saw the way that they would collect and the way that they would pause on that seventh day. We saw in God's design in creation, this rhythm of rest. And it is God's design for us to flourish. And some of us wonder, why are we weary? Why does it seem like this world is spinning out of control? You know, I went down to my mom's this week, and I was marinating on this message. And, you know, in there, there's some clocks that are in her home. And I remember when I was growing up, they had all these clocks. My dad loved, like, these grandfather clocks and these little, I don't know what they call them, like grandmama clocks. They're smaller. I don't know. But he had all these clocks, and I didn't like them because they cuckooed, and they, like, you're trying to get a good nap. And if you're a teenager, a good nap can happen at any time. You don't have to tell you guys to rest, right? Y'all got it. But listen, these things, it would cluck, cluck, and it would do all these things. But what I noticed, right, he would always try to wind that thing up. It had a little key, and he'd put it in the bottom of it. And on a certain time, he kind of had this rhythm, and he knew that he had to take and wind that clock up. And he would wind that clock up, and it would run for a certain amount of time. One pastor I like said, our bodies are like seven-day clocks, that they need to be wound up one day a week. And if they're not wound up, they will run into the grave. Now, this is true for us, right? And somehow we run until our bodies just shut down. Like the pastor that I was talking about, he ran to a place that he ended up in the hospital for a long season. His body just shut down. Sometimes we can go to that point, and all of a sudden we can find ourselves sick. We can find ourselves weary. There's kind of a running joke that we have. My daughter's friend, Riley, who is over on the second row there, I just want you to know, she's one of the meanest people, right, that I've ever She's really not that mean, but there's this kind of running joke that she's been with our family on just lots of trips and spent just a lot of time with us. And you can decide if this is mean or not, but she decided that she would start an archive. She has like an album in her phone of pictures where I've dozed off at different times. Yeah. And so there's like the drooling pictures, you know, all those things. And so I was thankful that maybe she didn't get those to the sound booth. But in the midst of that, right, we have this kind of running joke, but we can find ourselves, right, where if we're not resting, if we're not in these rhythms, we grow weary. And the reality is that we need rhythm. And so when do we keep the Sabbath? What does that look like in our lives? There's some different views, different things that have been talked about throughout the church, really. And you can have this view where there's a Saturday Sabbatarian view where there's this place that says, you know, as we look back in creation, we see in God's design that Sabbath was on Saturday. And we see that observed by the Jews in the Old Testament. We see those things, and it was rooted in this creation order. It was what was commanded of those people in this passage in Exodus. There's kind of another view, a majority view, that would view this Sunday fulfillment view that Jesus had fulfilled the Sabbath law. And so the pattern of rest, this call for us to rest, and this call for this pattern of rest and worship would continue, but that it would move to the first day of the week, to Sunday, in light of Jesus' resurrection. There's reasons that we do that. We gather on the first day of the week, but guess what? Like, we could also have a Saturday service, and it's not like we're doing something that, you know, is wrong, and you weren't worshiping on the right day. And some people would say, hey, finally, you got it on the right day. It was on Saturday. You can have those kind of conversations. But what we would see in this gathering of the church on the first day of the week, we'd see that Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. We'd see that the disciples, following that, they gathered on the first day of the week. We'd look in the book of Acts, and we would see the church meeting, and they would be breaking bread on the first day of the week. They'd be gathering in those things. Even in the book of Revelation, John would refer to the first day of the week as this Lord's Day. And so there's this perspective that we would gather and that we would celebrate the Christian Sabbath on Sunday. And some of you may have differing views. You may say, well, and I'll just be honest, like, Sunday is, now it's a day that I gather and worship, and it's one of my favorite days of the week. It's a favorite time, all those kind of things, but it is not a day of rest. It's not a day that after Sunday that I've paused and I've rested and I've been rejuvenated and replenished. A lot of times it may be followed with a funeral. It may be followed with meetings all through the evening. And so it's not a day of rest for me. It's a day of worship, right? But we see that. And so maybe you wonder, like, okay, so what does that mean? Colossians 2, 16 and 17, I believe, gives us some wisdom in this. It says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We're going to land in Hebrews, and we're going to be reminded that Jesus is our Sabbath rest, and that all this is pointing to him. Romans 14, verse 5 says, one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. What I want you to see this morning is that there's this need, and there's this principle of rest. We don't have to get hung up on exactly what day, and some of you might work on Sundays, some of you might have different things, you might work on Saturdays, but there needs to be a day, there needs to be a time where we are resting. And listen, this gift of rest that we have, if we don't come apart and rest for a little while, then in a little while you're going to find yourself coming apart. So we remember his rhythm. There's a rhythm that we see all the way to creation. We reflect on his work. Point number two, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male or female servant. Hopefully you didn't leave them working. Listen, we none of that, not your cattle, your sojourner. So we see this. What does this mean, right? So work is good. And so what we want to say in the beginning of this, there's a people in maybe our culture and our generation that need to hear the first part of that 6 days you're going to work. Because here's what we understand, like, you're going to have to work. If you're going to rest today, you're going to have to work hard to be able to prepare and do things so that you can rest today, right? You're going to have to get after it. And he says, 6 days, you're going to work. Now, some people, we hear people say a little bit, we'll see people say sometimes, like, you know, Adam and Eve and sin, and man, because of that, we got to work. But here's what you find in the scriptures. Here's what you find in the scriptures. God had gave Adam a job, right? And he had placed him in the garden to cultivate and keep it before the fall. Now, because of the fall, work has thorns. There's difficulties. There's no perfect jobs. You're going to face those kind of things. We understand that because of the fall. And listen, if you're a young person in this room, maybe a young man in this room, I just want you to hear something else, right? God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife, okay? He gave him a job before he gave him a wife. Listen, there's no room for you hanging out in your mom's basement, right? Listen, we're created to work. God has given them a job. Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians that if a person wants to eat, if a man wants to eat, let him work. There's a work. If we're able to work, then there's an expectation that we work and we should work hard. Listen, we should go to bed tired. There's all those things, right? But work can become this thing that has limits, right? And we can have it as an idol where we're just constantly in that. But Sabbath says, I'm going to work hard. But then I'm going to pause. I'm going to pause this work. I'm going to pause this because I'm recognizing that my great God, that he is working even when I am not. And so my life and my worth is not based on what I produce, but it's on who I am in Christ and the one who ultimately is my provider, that my provision comes from him. Statistics would say that leaders who take Sabbath, that they would experience so much less rates of burnout. Our health is so much better. There's so many things that are connected to this. And one person said it like this: you may be lazy if you don't work, but you are disobedient if you do not rest. And for some of us, that hits hard because we wear it as a badge of honor. But what I have come to grips with, that the way that we respond to this is a response of faith. And listen, we have to respond and say we trust God and his provision. You know, I brought a little phone charger with me. We have those that plug in, and most of us, before our phone dies, we look at it, we get the notification. If you've got Life 360, your whole family gets the notification. Hey, so-and-so's phone is at 5%. Remind them to charge their phone. There's all those reminders, those mechanisms that are out there. We plug those things in so their phone will build back up. And just to go along with our crazy culture, we have portable chargers. And the portable charger says, hey, we know you don't have time to pause for anything. And so we're going to give you the ability to charge your phone so you can keep running and you can keep going. But here's the reality. This will run out eventually too. And what we understand is that in our lives, we can stick some caffeine in us. We can have a 5-hour energy drink. I had one this morning. And so, listen, we can have those little boosts along the journey, and they'll sustain us for a moment. They'll sustain us for a little while. But if we don't rest, listen, this charger, it may let us go for a little while longer, but this charger too will run out. But God, in his grace, he's given us a gift of rest. He's given us this ability to plug into his rhythm, into his presence, into his provision. And when he said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Some of you are saying, hey, I am weary. Maybe you've come in that way. Maybe some of you have been running at just a pace, and you recognize, hey, I really needed to hear this today. Something that I love: bargains. I love yard sales. I love thrift stores. I love the clearance aisle at Walmart. Like, if I go in there, I'm making the lap through there. I found this ring at Walmart. It was a clearance deal, and I was so excited to see it. It was like one of these rings that monitor your health. And I'd had some tests with my doctor, and they were like, hey, you might consider doing like a sleep study or something. And I'm like, I ain't got time for that, you know? So I said, I'm gonna get this ring and I'll wear this ring. And so this ring, it's so smart. Like, it is really a smart ring. And so it tells me all kinds of things. It tells me how long I slept. It tells me how many sleep cycles that I had. It tells me how deep my sleep was. It'll ask me, late night stimulant. Like at VBS, it's like, did you have caffeine too late? Because it seemed like your heart rate didn't drop down in a certain amount of time. So it's super cool. So I've been learning all these things about it. One of the things that I've learned about it that I didn't really like, it has this thing called Ultra Age. And so I'm scrolling down through there, and it's like, your actual age is this. And then it's like, your ultra age, from the rhythms of your body and all this stuff it's monitoring, is this. And I was 3 years older, which hurt my feelings kind of bad. It was like, okay, you're old already. All right, that's what I was figuring out. But then it's like, and you're extra old by the way your body's kind of walking. And so we went on vacation, and it was interesting. We went on vacation, and after being away for a little bit and being in the rhythm, my ultra age went back 3 years in just a short amount of time, just in the rhythms of that. It said, hey, your body's actually acting your age now. And it was interesting, and I thought, if I'm really good and I sleep a lot, I wonder if my hair will come back. This will be awesome. Like, I'm be like 21 here in a few weeks, right? But here's what I know. Like there's the things, you know, it's just a tool. It's just kind of a thing. But we came back from this time away, and we had rested. I was feeling really good. We had driven a bazillion hours that day, and we got back in, and I was telling my family on the way back in. I said, hey, when we get back, I said, I'm just going to need a couple hours, just kind of marinate in the sermon and get ready. It was a Saturday night. And so we get home, and things are crazy when we get home. Hope has gone ahead of us, and she's going to grab something from the house, and we're going to unload the camper. We're going to do all that. She calls. She's kind of frantic. There's a tree down in the road. There's a power line that's down. Not only is the power line down, but it's going and there's a fire that has broken out in the woods, and there's smoke coming. And so we end up with like the fire department there, and we end up with the power company coming out and finally getting the power turned off. And then they have to restore things. And finally we get home, and my cute little Ultra Ring thing tells me that I just got like a couple hours of sleep on that Saturday night. But listen, I want you to know that Sunday I felt good, even though I only slept for a couple hours, because I had rested. I'd been walking in the rhythms of life. And when life came at us, and when life was going crazy, I was feeling good that next day. I got up the next morning, way early in the morning. I was feeling good because I was living out of an overflow of rest. And listen, we don't need to run until we crash in order to rest, but we need to have these rhythms of our life that we might remember His rhythm, that we might reflect and rest in His work. And finally, last point you've been waiting for, and I know, is rejoice in His rescue. In Exodus 2:11, we see God bless the Sabbath day. He's blessed the animals. He's blessed the people. And then now He blesses the Sabbath day. And then when we fast forward a little bit in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we read these words in verse 15 of that chapter. It says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." And so now he says, in light of His redemption, not only is this a reminder of God's creation, and we see that Sabbath rhythm in that, but it is a reminder of God's rescue. It is a reminder of God's redemption. And when they would take the Sabbath, they would be reminded that it was the Lord their God that brought them out. And He had brought them out to bring them in, that He might dwell with them. We'll see that in the tabernacle and the temple, different things that were set up. God was desiring and able to have relationship with them. And He was bringing them out to bring them in. And later in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, we see that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Verse 9 of chapter 4 says, "There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest, Jesus, has Himself also rested from His works as God did from His." Listen, the work was finished on Calvary's cross. And there is no more striving. There's no more earning. There's no more things that somehow we're going to do enough work, so we're going to observe all these commands. We're going to have all these sacrifices. Listen, there, Jesus has completed the work. In verse 11, He says, "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience." Listen, God's people, they did not observe the Sabbath. They found the consequences from that. We see it all through the scriptures. And Jesus is our rest. In Genesis, God created and gave us this rhythm. He rested not from exhaustion, but in celebration. In Deuteronomy, Sabbath is connected to the rescue of the people from Egypt. And in Hebrews, we rest in Christ in the finished work, what God has done in our place in Jesus Christ. And when we gather on Sunday, listen, we gather the first day of the week, and when we look at these commands, we see we're to worship God and the one true God. We're going to worship Him correctly. We're not going to bow down to idols. We're going to watch our words. There's ways that we're going to engage. And in this commandment, in this fourth commandment, we're going to worship Him regularly. And in that, when we gather and we sing truth about what God has done, when we are reminded of the finished work of the cross, we are able to rest in Him. And listen, we need reminded every week. We go through the weariness of this world. We go and listen, we remember when we gather on Sunday morning, we remember His rest. Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished." Tetelestai, my favorite word in all of the Greek, right? And because of His victory, what I want you to hear is that if you're in Christ, you can rest. You can rest in Him, not in anything that you've done that week, not in the toils and the things that you've done at work or all the things that are there. Listen, you can rest in what Jesus has done for you. We rejoice in Christ. We worship together regularly, and it is a gift. Listen, it's not legalism. It's not legalism saying somehow, oh my goodness, you missed a Sunday and all the things, but listen, we ought to want to gather in worship to our great God. When we were on vacation, we gathered with the people of God, and we worshiped, and listen, we lifted high our voices, and we were encouraged, and we were strengthened, and we were renewed in God's grace, and it's a gift to us. Jerry Vaughn said it this way: we need one day to get away from the noise, clamor, and clutter of the business world and hear the sweet strains of songs of praise to our Lord God. Jesus would say in Mark 2 that the Sabbath was that man was not made for the Sabbath, but that the Sabbath was made for man. Listen, we see as people walk in this, even in the secular world, that it's lower stress, that people have better sleep, that they experience more joy. There's so many wonderful benefits of walking in God's rhythm. And I want to encourage you to do that. And I want to encourage me to do that. Because I want to be honest, like I struggle in this. My family can tell you that I struggle in this. I'm deeply convicted sometimes of not being present. You know, I've seen my kids grow up, and sometimes because there's so many things coming, and I'm not fully present. And there's like a sense of repentance to God and to my family in those things, and somehow I've worn those things as a badge of honor. Somehow I felt like somehow that maybe because it's even for the Lord that it's just a good thing. You know, I remember when I first became pastor here, there was a man that came alongside me, a wise, older pastor, and he sat down in front of me and he said, Jason, you must think you're pretty important. And in those moments, I thought, man, I hope I'm not carrying that kind of presence. I hope I'm not arrogant in some way. And I kind of looked at him and he could tell he caught me off guard. And he said, somehow you think that if you pause for a minute, that God can't take care of your church. And he saw some unhealthy things in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't dealt with those things in the way that I should. I mean, if I'm honest, it's like, hey, what do we say? We're busy. We got all these things going. And here's what the Holy Spirit really just convicted my heart. Sometimes we feel like we're too important to rest, but we're not too important to rest. We're too prideful to trust. Because ultimately what Sabbath says is we don't feel like we got enough time. We don't feel like I've got enough time to pause and do this. Many of you feel the same thing, but somehow it says, even though I don't have enough time, I'm going to trust that what God says is true, and that somehow when I honor him and I work hard those 6 days and I pour my life out, that in him I can find rest, and it's going to be a place where I'm renewed and joy overflows, right? Because here's the truth about Sabbath. When we honor it and when we walk in that, we recognize that we're not God. I'm not God. I don't run the universe. You don't run the universe. King Jesus runs the universe. And we rest in him. And we say, you know what? We're not going to sacrifice our family on the altar of busyness. We're not going to believe that somehow our provision rests in how many hours that we can put our knuckles to the grind. Yes, work hard. I hope I've communicated that well. But one day a week, we should set it aside for rest, for renewal, for relationships. We ought to disconnect from our phone. We ought to disconnect from the things of this world. Because listen, we're human beings, not human doings. We're to rest in who we are in Christ. And the Sabbath is not about achieving. The Sabbath is about abiding in Jesus and living our life out of an overflow of our relationship with him. And so there's an invitation. I believe it's an invitation for all of us, an invitation that's been extended in the rhythms of creation and on through our lives, to pause and to rest in the finished work of the cross. The world says, grind. Grind until you die. But Jesus says, you can rest because I died and the work is done. It's not a reward for finishing. It is a gift from the one who has already finished the work. So we're going to worship our great God together. And that rest is found only in Christ. The greatest need that you have is not physical. The greatest need that you have is spiritual rest. Some of you have been striving you've been trying to somehow figure out, like people would ask you, you know, are you able to be in the presence of God? Are you able to go to heaven when you die? What is it that allows you to do that? Maybe some of you have been filling in that blank with like, hey, I hope my good outweighs my bad. I hope I've done all these things. Maybe somehow you're striving. Listen, the Bible says that it's by grace that you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Our salvation is not by anything that we do, anything that we earn, but by resting and trusting in what Jesus did on that cross, that when Jesus died on that cross, that it was for me. It was in my place, and I'm resting. I'm resting not in anything that I've accomplished, not in anything that I'm going to do, but in only what Jesus has done. And if you've never trusted in him, listen, if you've never just rested your life and said, you know what, I'm going to quit striving. I'm going to trust that what Jesus did, the work was done. And I'm resting my life in him. Maybe that's you today. Listen, I invite you to rest in him, to call on his name, really just to surrender your life, to stop striving, and just to begin to abide in him. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to go into a time where we're going to sing together. You know, this place, it's decorated up with mushrooms and all kind of stuff, but I want to tell you, it's a place that we can kneel. It's a place that we can come and just declare our dependence on God. Just say, God, I'm coming to begin resting right now. I'm tired of striving. I'm tired of this hamster wheel of life and somehow trying to work and earn. I'm coming just to rest in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you, Lord, that your grace, God, has been poured out abundantly to us in Christ. Lord, that in Christ we can find ultimate rest. God, one day, Lord, when you come back for your church or you call us home, Lord, we'll experience that rest fully. God, a praising people gathered in the promised land. Lord, not because of anything we've done, but because of what you did in our place, because of what you've done. And Lord, we just rest in that. God, that we are loved. God, we look to the cross and we're reminded of what it cost. And Lord, we just rest in you. God, I pray, Lord, you'll have your will and way in every life. God, I pray you'd help some dads like me, God, to somehow, Lord, find God, courage to just remember and rest in you. God, to pause and, Lord, to trust that you're going to provide even when we're not toiling. Got some moms that just never pause, never shut down, always working, always trying to keep up with all the lies of our culture, that we've got to keep up with everybody next door and everything's got to look a certain way, be a certain way. Lord, help us just pause. God, and rest in you, that we are loved by you. God, that we've been saved by you. Lord, if anyone doesn't know you, God, I pray they'd respond and surrender this morning. And by faith, Lord, they would trust you. God, that you would save them. God, that you would change them. And Lord, you'd allow them to find rest. That's only in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand and worship this morning? Be obedient.